Town Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 707, shout out the 707 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline text line. If we don't make a move, the same thing happens. We are out in the first round again. This road trip schedule has been favorable. Weak competition. We only had one back-to-back, and I think we faced three teams that were playing the second game of a back-to-back on this trip.
Yeah. They had a ton of road I remember seeing that. They had a ton of rest advantage on this road trip. But nonetheless, I mean, it still is a seven-game road trip where you're going they went as west as Golden State, obviously, and let's see here, as east as Miami. So I mean, pretty cross country.
I mean, it's the longest road trip. We're not trying to poke holes in it. It just is what it is. It's the longest road trip, and I think most times you're not going to have multiple back to backs on one road trip.
No, that would be brutal.
That's pretty brutal. There. This is from the 916. Interesting. We are a good but not great team. Yeah. We need to improve the squad. I love Monk, but he makes a lot of bad decisions. Hmm. I think you move him and Barnes for a key championship type of guy.
Yeah.
Can we get Jimmy Butler for those two? I'm not doing that. Woo! You know I'm not that high on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you're not that high on Jimmy
Butler. Are you doing this? 916-339-1140. Malik Monk and Harrison Barnes for Jimmy Butler.
Ugh. I still don't even think the money comes close. I think Jimmy's making like 45 or 50 million, but
I'm not doing it.
What does the Kings bench look like after that?
That's the tough thing.
Because then it's like, who, you have no depth almost, because Malik's a guy who's 80% of the time bringing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lyles, no.
You got to move Trey Lyles to the starting lineup if Harrison's gone.
No, Jimmy. Jimmy goes in. And you just run Fox, right. Herter, Jimmy, Keegan, Sabonis.
That is quite the conundrum off the bench. It's, I think, another move needs to be made. Maybe
it's a move for the future. It's not a move for this year, for sure. Like, you're this year, to your point, Nate, you'd be pretty screwed on the bench.
You'd have to do something else, right? You'd have to go grab somebody who can come off the bench.
With who?
I don't.
You have no assets left besides Herter, and you can't lose Herter at that point. You need shooting.
What was the initial trade?
Malik Monk and Harrison Barnes for Jimmy Butler.
So no picks. Then you use picks to go get the guy off the bench, right?
I'm not doing it.
I guess,
I'm not doing it.
Sounds like a lot. Yeah. Again, I don't even think that would work straight up, because Jimmy makes so much money that I don't even think it is fun, though.
That's a wild team.
Jimmy is my guy. Jimmy is the guy for the Kings. For me, especially if you can put him in a time capsule, or not a time capsule, a time machine, and bring him back like 3 years.
Dude, how mad would he be if he got traded to the Kings? Therefore, how good would he be?
So
he'd be furious.
Yeah. The thing is, it would either the thing about trading for Jimmy is you get an answer, whether it's the answer you want or not. It's like the Minnesota situation, where I think we said Jimmy's real job should just be going team to team and figuring out, does your team have enough dog in it or not? Because that's really what Jimmy's being.
He's a consultant.
He's a consultant. Exactly. Yes. Of course, we need Jimmy Butler on the floor, but his real value would just be figuring out, assessing the room and saying, you know, I like De'Aaron Fox, but, or maybe, you know, I won't even put it. Maybe he's like, you know what, De'Aaron Sabonis, I can ride for those guys all week long.
Yeah.
This Keegan Murray kid, though, I don't know. He's just a little soft. And whatever it is, it could be Sabonis. He could dislike whatever. Right. I just really trust Jimmy's BS meter, if you will. I think he's just got a really good detector of doggedness, and I think it would really be unfortunate if you had to trade Malik as a part of that, because I think Malik and Jimmy would get along just fine. But I think that would be Jimmy's real value to this team, is just saying, I've been around the block, and I know a dog when I see one, and this is not it, or this is definitely it. This is a situation where these guys are real basketball players, and they just care about winning. It could be either one, but you'll get an answer.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that you can do this deal with Kevin Herter instead of Malik, because between Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, I don't think the Heat need another shooter.
They definitely don't.
Right? No. Not like that, right? I think some people would even argue Duncan Robinson for for Kevin Huerter. I'm right. not. I think Kevin Huerter does more, but as far as pure shooters, they might be pretty close.
Pretty similar. Yeah. I mean, there would be no need. Just in general, two guards. They have plenty of guards. How about Josh Richardson? Remember, he cooked us the other day as well. Like they have way.
Can you get him?
Yeah, right. Can we get him?
Like maybe that's how you make the money. No, because the money is just Jimmy's money.
I checked it out, by the way. You would need $11 million more dollars as a part of that deal going out to Miami. So HB and Malik only equal $26 million.
Right.
Jimmy Butler makes $45 million.
That's crazy.
So only person who makes over $1 million or over that figure is Kevin Huerter. So you would have to attach two other players at least, if not Trey Lyles and you can do like Trey Lyles and Kobe Jones, maybe. Mm-hmm. You could do Sasha and Davion Mitchell or JaVale, but again, your bench was already absolutely decimated after shipping off Malik, so I don't know if you'd want to ship off more.
Well, and by the way, speaking of guards, I was just thinking, that just reminded me of Gabe Vincent. I don't know what is wrong with him, but he has not played all season for the Lakers, and I saw something somewhere saying Lakers are willing to move.
I saw that
too. Who the heck is going to entertain that?
I guess Miami, maybe, but that's
bring
it.
Him back?
Yeah, he could be a part of the Braun trade. You know, Braun and Gabe Vincent for whoever would return.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Or he's going to New York.
Stars.
He's going
probably,
to New
that's
York.
That's right. Did you see he posted this weekend about Madison Square Garden?
He did, and then he had the towel. Yeah. Then he was wearing the Knicks towel.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He wore a Knicks towel.
Oh, my gosh. LeBron, what are you doing, buddy?
No, he knows exactly.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
What he's doing. So, he used the towel.
I got to see this.
Yes. During the post game. And this is from Brian Windhorst, okay? This
the towel
is from
is crazy. The fact that people are drawing conclusions from
this is from this is from Brian Windhorst in the Hoop Collective, okay?
I see it. Oh, okay.
He was cognizant and aware. This is Brian Windhorst on his podcast. He was cognizant and aware that he was putting on a towel that said New York Knicks.
God.
Why would he mess with the Knicks? Because he was using the Knicks as a tool to pressure
Lakers.
Yeah. But they haven't. I read that this morning and I thought, did the Lakers make a move and I saw nothing?
I cannot believe that this is a story. This is insane.
Yeah.
First off, do you believe it's intentional? Looking at it now.
I don't put anything past LeBron, but I want to say no.
I mean, he's literally just got it wrapped around his neck.
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds? I mean, I don't know. And is this being used for leverage? I mean, sure. LeBron, like you said, he's calculated.
Yes.
If it wasn't intentional, I'm sure he's like, well, that's a happy accident then. Because, it's what he's done in the past. He used to do it with one-year contracts, but now he's not been doing that. I think he signed a three-year extension with the Lakers, so he hasn't really been able to leverage like he usually does in the past.
Le GM.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not nothing. Again, LeBron does not do things
no,
on
he
accident.
Doesn't. Never.
So it's can I see him actually playing in New York?
A great
I
way
guess,
to end it.
But yeah, right. There's no perfect story. Even the Miami angle, I don't fully understand from a story arc perspective, like how that's wrapping a bow on anything. And Cleveland, he's already done that. Lakers, he's already got the championship. So I can maybe see it happening. Maybe like a Jordan Wizards kind of thing where it's like a couple years of just
I would say
around.
Knicks or Celtics. If you're going to leave.
Oh, my gosh. Celtics would be scorched.
If you're going to leave, you're not going to leave to not go to one of the top.
Yeah.
Or unless, because I don't see.
Golden State. Not anywhere but Golden State, please.
I mean, I think that's it. I think it's Lakers.
If anyone's going to make a trade, I think it's Golden State for LeBron.
For LeBron.
Yeah.
I say you do it. If I'm the
Warriors,
I do
it. I'm definitely doing it.
You're cooked right now. I mean, they're and I like Jonathan Kuminga, but I saw one Warriors fan and they said something and they said, once Steph retires, the Warriors are in good hands with Pods.
With Pods?
With Pods.
With Pods.
With Pods. What's that retired?
Oh my
god!
Pods. That's crazy. That's like if Miami Heat, if after the Heatles left, they're like, we got Shabazz Napier,
yeah,
we're solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Norris Cole.
Norris Cole. We still got Mario Chalmers.
Come on. Mario Chalmers.
We got Mario Chalmers.
Come on. No, yeah. Get out of here.
We're in good hands with Pot. And he got cooked, and he said, hey, I wasn't saying that he's going to be as good as Steph. I'm just saying we're in good hands.
What does that mean?
We're in good hands with Pods.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, so, yeah, they should definitely look to ship off Wiggins. I mean, I'm hearing Wiggins is getting
I saw
getting
that
tons
Mavericks.
Of interest.
I keep on seeing Mavericks.
Mavericks, Pacers. Clay continues to be a
Clay
name.
Clay got benched towards the end of the one of the games over the weekend.
Yeah.
Pods closed for Clay instead of Clay.
Yeah, I saw Trace Jackson Davis is back to being in the rotation, so yeah. I don't know. That sounds like Steve Kerr's back on his Steve Kerr stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Love that from them. If I'm the Warriors, I know they like to be light years ahead, but I would just fully shift towards just being old. Just embrace who you are.
Yeah.
You're an old team with old vets. Like, just try and be that scrappy team that's trying to get one more out there. And, you know, yeah, if that means getting LeBron.
Get it with LeBron, then do what you got to do. What's the name of that movie? I think, and they're older mercenaries. What is the name of that movie?
Not The Expendables?
I think, yes. The Expendables. Yes. You're The Expendables.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead and just end it
one
that
last
way.
Ride.
Just one last ride. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation on the Kings, and a little bit later we'll have some more Niners talk. There is a name that has been very interesting throughout the course of his career. He will not be a member of the coaching staff that he previously was that has a new coach in the NFL. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
There continues to be conversation about the curious case of Eric Bieniemy. It has been announced. New Commanders head coach Dan Quinn said Eric Bieniemy will not return to Washington's staff.
Well, that's interesting then, because then he's just a complete free agent.
Go back to the Chiefs?
Right, I guess.
He's got to go to college.
I think, yeah, we were discussing that last week. I think that is the right route for him.
That's what I would do.
The question is, I mean, what position? Because if he's a head coach, but that's like a completely different, because then you're in, like, who knows, recruiting is then a huge part of being a head coach. So is it like just, I mean, you see Cliff Kingsbury pretty much is, you know, he just stuck around as an OC. Maybe you could step. I mean, I don't know how USC would be interested in Bieniemy, but.
You know where Eric Bieniemy went to college?
I actually kind of think I do, and I feel like I know where this is going.
Uh-huh.
Did he go to Colorado?
He did.
Okay.
I was going to guess Temple.
Prime!
That would be interesting.
Coach Prime.
That would be really, really interesting. I actually really like that hire, too. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, especially considering Bieniemy went to Colorado.
No clue who Colorado's current offensive coordinator is.
No clue at all. I think it might have been Dion's OC from Jackson State as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes a ton of sense for a lot of reasons, because even if it doesn't work out, it's like, hey, Dion's got an OC at least for the time being. And that's a really, really good shout. I really like that.
You do 2 years with Dion. Right. You get a head coaching gig. You do 2 years. You become the hot name, go to a college football playoff.
Who knows? Maybe
Dion
swears he's staying in Colorado, but who knows? You might be able to slip into a job there if he leaves.
But, yeah, Eric Bieniemy will not be
– I like it.
Will not be staying in Washington, as Dan Quinn will bring in a whole new staff.
Ugh.
A whole new staff. And that just felt like a weird situation for Bieniemy going. They tried to convince us that Sam Howell was the guy, and he's clearly not the guy. Now he probably was just thinking, please just let me hang around so you can get, you know,
one of them.
Kingsbury, you get Caleb Williams somebody.
Drake May, yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be the case.
Well, do you think that this – I mean, I guess there's no guarantees in terms of the draft positioning, but there's a lot of connections, obviously. Cliff Kingsbury spent his time at USC last year. Washington's got the number two pick in the draft. I guess Caleb Williams is a D.C. native or was
he's
DC.
Definitely going to Washington.
You feel like that's the move?
I mean, because – It's still the Bears at number
Bears
one, right?
Bears got number one, right? So, still a lot of questions on what they're going to do there.
I mean, if you're Washington, does it sound crazy to have to swap with the Bears to just make sure? Because the Bears, they don't know what they're doing. What if they just took Caleb Williams just because?
I they could just take Marvin Harrison too. Like, there's a chance that they don't even go quarterback.
They're going quarterback.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, because there's an argument that I'm sure a couple Bears fans would make that they give Justin Fields weapons and give him a chance to figure it out. Do you believe that Drake May or Caleb Williams is going to be significantly better than Justin Fields? I think they will be. I would bet that both of those will be better. But are you willing to take the risk? And it's the team building question of, you know, what comes first, chicken or the egg? Do you get the quarterback first, or do you get line and some receivers to ease the transition as much as possible? Because you look at the situation Bryce Young got put in. It's like, you know, Bryce Young probably could have used a receiver better than Adam Thielen as his number one target.
Doesn't it also depend who you get, though? I mean, I guess we would probably say that the Bengals weren't as bad as the Panthers, but Joe Burrow went to a bit of a dumpster fire.
Sure,
and he turned that thing around quickly.
Yeah, yeah, he had a couple targets, but yeah, they eventually had to get Ja'Marr Chase for everything to really click into place. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but even then, you could make the argument that Ja'Marr Chase is the thing that really made Joe Burrow. So again, yeah, you could go. There's an argument to go out there and get, and people say that Marvin Harrison is the best player in the draft. Period. So there's the argument of just go get that best player and let the rest figure it out. Plus, the Bears also have I can't remember what their other pick is, 7 or something
like
that.
Yeah, they have one and they have 9.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. Shout out the Bears for winning games at the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, you could use that to go get I don't know who you feel will be out there, but, you know, there's always the Jaden Daniels, if you're high on J.J. McCarthy, or you can take a lineman there as well. And kick the can down yet another year for Justin Fields. I don't know, but I feel like Washington, regardless, has to feel like they're definitely getting a quarterback. That's the good news for them is sitting at number two, you're definitely, at the very least, going to get either Drake May or Caleb Williams.
Yes.
And feels like either way, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, and for our Raider fans out there, I saw Dan Orlovsky on Pat McAfee earlier saying that the Raiders have kind of done this the right way. They're sitting at the 13th pick. They got to get up there. I'm looking at some of the teams that might be willing to move off. I mean, the Cardinals at 4, they might be stuck in the mud. The Chargers, you think Jim probably wants to make a stance there.
They don't need a quarterback.
Giants at 6. Well, now, after you get past about the top 6, is there even any point in doing this exercise?
Yeah, right, because it sounds like Jaden Daniels is probably going top 5 anyway.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a lot of teams, including the Vikings, who are going to be very, very interested in moving up. So it sounds like if you are going to move up, you're going to have to probably move up as high as possible. And yeah, I definitely am hearing a lot about that Cardinals spot at number 4.
But if they think – if the Chargers think that a lot of that was coaching – right? Hey, maybe we don't need – yeah, well, it's in the division. I was going to say, hey, Raiders, we'll do a deal with you. Or I would say the Giants – I don't know what the New York Giants need, but besides that, if Arizona might be the team, if they're going to stick with Kyler Murray because they paid him so much dang money, maybe the Raiders can get up to number 4.
Yeah, I think that's probably the spot that I would eye because, I definitely – especially with quarterbacks, you just never know how far, how excited other teams are going to be to move up. And so if you feel like, even if it is the 3rd quarterback taken, if you feel confident, and I know that there's tons of ties, you actually put me on to all the ties between Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce as well. It seems like that's the route that these guys are probably going to go. It sounds like there's a lot of smoke behind that fire, and you know, it would be a really good way of just kind of ushering in this era of Antonio Pierce as well, giving him a nice young quarterback who can kind of grow with him. It makes a lot of sense for the Raiders to do it. The question is, you know, what do they give up, and are they truly just a quarterback away from really competing? Because that is a really, really tough division.
They might
so
be.
You better, if you feel like you're going to make that kind of move, you better hope that that really does put you into that tier of teams.
They're a quarterback away from getting in the playoffs.
I would think so.
And you don't have a chance. You don't have a choice because Jim Harbaugh is now the one team that you could bet on beating, right? The Chargers at least once a year or once a season. That team is about to get much better,
right?
So I just don't think you have a choice.
Who knows what the Broncos are going to do either?
The Broncos are. They have the 12th pick, so they're one ahead of the Raiders. So who's going to get that deal with Arizona? Yeah. They need a quarterback.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, but they still got to get rid of theirs too because they're paying Russell Wilson a ton. I don't know. It's definitely going to get interesting around draft time because, you know, someone's going to be more aggressive than everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's how this thing works is, you know, there's going to be three or four teams that are going to be rumored for, hey, these guys want to move up. But the problem is especially when you're talking about a quarterback heavy draft class, it just takes one. And that's what we've said about the NBA trade deadline in the past, but definitely applies to this situation as well. It just takes one team getting really aggressive or watching a whole lot of tape on one guy to get really excited. And it just takes one big offer. And that's really all that it takes. And so if you feel confident, if the Raiders feel confident or the Vikings, or if it is the Broncos, you got to go out there and you got to throw a crazy package out there. And it's probably going to be multiple first and maybe multiple seconds too. I mean, it sounds like people are really, really high on whoever it is that falls at four.
Break time when we get back, previewing the Cavs as the Kings look to close out their longest road trip of the season, 6-1. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Speaking of Gabe Vincent, this is from Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports. Lakers guard Gabe Vincent, who's become included in Los Angeles's outgoing trade conversation, sources said, appear on track to return by early March. Vincent underwent arthroscopic surgery on his left knee during the final days of December. He was given an 8 to 10 week recovery period and has so far been recuperating on schedule. He's expected to be out one more month. Gabe Vincent. Another piece of news here from Mark Stein. Now, this one gets me really excited. Okay, everybody knows I love Bobby Portis.
Yes.
The Dallas Mavericks and Milwaukee Bucks have discussed a Grant Williams-Bobby Portis swap.
What?
The Bucks and Mavericks, league sources say, have held exploratory discussions on a trade that would swap Milwaukee's Bobby Portis and Dallas newcomer Grant Williams. No!
Well, then
it was supposed to be me.
Yeah. Not him.
Not him. Me.
That
makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. It makes me feel like, well, then Monty McNair, pick up the phone, and as much as I love him, Trey Lyles. Like, hey, Trey Lyles for Bobby Portis. Because Bobby Portis he's a little bit of everything. He's a dude who can take you in the post. He brings some physicality. He gets rebounds. He can shoot from three. He's been on winning teams. I'd have to look at his age, but for the most part, it seems like that's the exact kind of guy
you would want
on your roster. Maybe he's not getting along with Doc.
He's 28.
Really? Well, that's really good then.
Yeah. Well, and I found myself in random Bucks social space.
Oof.
And it seems like they haven't been happy. The Bucks fans haven't been happy with Bobby Portis. Mm. And maybe something is amiss there.
Interesting.
You know, adding Damian Lillard, I'd have to look. Maybe his minutes have maybe diminished from, even though they play a different position, just with everything that's going on there. Maybe there is a domino effect. But Grant Williams, you talk about somebody I'm not high on. I'm not high on Grant Williams at all.
Same.
So something is wrong, something is missing here to me if Grant Williams and Bobby Portis can be done in a straight-up swap.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because, yeah, Grant Williams is just somebody who's disappointed. He's like a theoretical 3-and-D guy, but he is definitely emphasis on theoretical from the three portion. And even the defense is a bit overrated. He's just, he's a really, I mean, he's a big dude. Like,
big dude.
He looks like he should probably play linebacker instead. But yeah, that I don't think that's the right move for Milwaukee either. I don't really, that feels like, hey, let's just be different for the sake of being different. Like, and maybe even worse.
Well, Giannis LeBron Antetokounmpo is proving not to be as good of a GM as Le GM.
Yeah, right.
That well, you got the new coach in here. Yep. They still can't. What are they? 1-3 now.
1-3. Yeah,
they're 1-3.
They gave him a water shower after, of course, a water
winning.
Shower, but yeah, after winning, they like doused him with like water.
Doc Rivers,
and it led to a very Chris Bosh sussy moment.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was Chris Bosh-esque for sure. He was like, "Oh yeah, let it rain."
I did see
1-3
something about Doc in the All Star.
Yeah, he got named All Star coach.
Yes, he said right here that is when he was asked about being named head coach, as we talked about in our segment last week, fair or foul. He says that is ridiculously bad. Well, Adrian is going to get some money and a ring. I guess they're all-star rings. Is that new? You get a ring for all-star.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I hope not. No.
Maybe I'll send my staff and I'll go on vacation. That's Doc Rivers on being the head coach for the Eastern Conference side of the all-star game.
Interesting. Maybe he's talking about, oh yeah, when we win a ring at the end of the year, I'll send him a ring.
No, I think there is an all-star ring.
I really, really hope not. Not for coaches. I mean, first, what a weird situation.
Here
too.
You go. Like, here you go. This is from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
Rivers is giving up his all-star ring and bonus to Griffin.
Okay. Well, that's terrible.
I've never seen one of these ever.
No.
I'll have to Google it during the
break. Yeah, there's no reason to give somebody a ring. I understand a bonus check. That's great, but I don't need a ring. I mean,
I've never seen one.
Do players get one too? Like, why do I never hear slander about?
I'm telling you, it's got to be
pointless
new
rings.
It's got to be newer.
This ring culture has gotten out of control. Oh my goodness.
You know, nobody counts Carmelo's all-star rings.
That's what I'm saying, man. Come on, that's crazy.
Yeah,
how about
somebody
his Olympic ring.
Somebody said, did everyone know that they get a ring for the All-Star game?
It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not okay with Doc Coach. Like, you got to figure something out where it's like, hey, there should be a 15-game limit or something where a coach has to be able to coach a certain amount of games because it just doesn't make any sense.
It's just a very unique situation. And how many times does a coach get fired when they're in second place?
It's also a great point, right? I guess you shouldn't make a rule for the exception. It's just it's weird, and it doesn't even sound like, I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody would be excited for that. If I were on the East, I would probably just sit out the game. And by the way, on that note too, I think Keegan's still the only king that's been announced on All-Star Weekend. I think I'm going to be okay with just opting out of All-Star Weekend this year. I might just like tune in for Saturday, like maybe just the dunk contest, maybe the Sabrina Steph shootout, but I think I'm leaning towards out on this All-Star Weekend. It's just not feeling like it's it this year. I don't know if it's the indiness of it. I don't know if it's
because your guys got
the courts.
Snubbed.
Of course, the snubbing doesn't help either. But I don't know, the All-Star. It's just no thanks on All-Star.
This is something that I found from 2023. This is Yahoo.com. The most elite NBA players will gather in Salt Lake City, Utah this weekend. This is from last season, obviously. Crafted by Victor Solomon, who consistently works with the NBA on its trophy and award designs. The rings are fitted with a myriad of striking details. The U-set bezel, and it goes on. And it's got a picture of it right here. I'll show you.
What?
I'm trying to figure out how long this has gone on.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's a nice-looking ring.
It's a nice-looking ring.
It's a gold ring with a basketball on it and some diamonds surrounding it, but why, like what are like again if you're LeBron and you've made 20 straight All-Star, like what are you supposed to do with those 20 rings?
And I've never seen anyone ever wear one.
Yeah, you'd get clowned. I would clown any. I mean, Charles Barkley would get absolutely destroyed if he showed up with like a handful of All-Star rings.
Right. It's this insane. Is the one thing it says. The league is set to celebrate the players and coaches' achievements by gifting special All-Star rings. That makes it sound like it's new. That this was 2023. Yeah. Then it says, traditionally, they would receive their hardware approximately 1 month after the event, but this year the pieces will be waiting for them in the locker room as they arrive arena.
If they're going to do it, that makes the most sense. But I hate to be that guy who, you know, brings this into it, but like, can't you just, instead of spending, I can't imagine how many multi-million.
Yeah. No, you can go there,
can you just donate that to charity or do something more productive than give these guys rings that they literally will probably pawn or give to their nieces
Found
and nephews?
Found another one? This is from.
That looks like the NBAPA.
This is from 2022. So it's, they've at least, maybe.
What is the point?
I've never heard of this.
Literally, who is asking for that? Who has ever said, oh, I really wish there was something besides this jersey that I could really remember this night by? Like, who is asking for these rings?
And I think
what
feels
kind of
like,
accomplishment is it?
It feels like 2022. Oh, wow. Okay. We got to get to a break here, but now I'm seeing.
Wow, you found a rabbit hole. It
sounds
like.
Now I'm seeing Kobe Bryant's 2000 NBA All-Star ring, 1992.
What?
Dominique Wilkins All-Star ring.
Why on earth?
I've never heard.
Why has this never been uncovered before now?
And on eBay.
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
And on eBay, you have the Cavs championship ring for sale. Who knows?
How much? I might be into that. But I'm definitely, if the Kings ever win a championship, I'm buying a ring.
All right, last one I promise. Last one I promise. 1986. 1986 NBA basketball all-star game ring. So they've been doing this forever, apparently.
I guess no one's just ever known about it. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Why? What do you need a ring? Why is it got to be a ring? Like, a ring should be for championships only. Why can't it be a pendant? Why can't it be a bracelet?
You could have a summer league ring. You could have an in-season tournament ring. You could have an all-star. You could fill your hand without winning a championship. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to break down Kings Cavs, and we will discuss whether De'Aaron Fox is back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 530, can the Kings make a trade without trading Barnes or Herder that makes their bench better?
I guess, yeah. I mean, they could ship off second round picks. They could swap Davion Mitchell for somebody else. Yeah, for sure. They can definitely make their bench better. That's the hope. I mean, that's really at this point. Not, I shouldn't say at this point. I don't think the Kuzma stuff is off the table quite yet. But, you know, if you're following the reports, a lot of them are more so those secondary, you know, around the edges kind of guys and not necessarily starter quality guys. So
yeah. I think you can make the bench better. It's just a matter of how much better.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Is it anything that's going to drastically... When you look at what the Kings need at this point in time, the question is, can you get that without moving on from those main guys? This is from Will Z's stats, just speaking of, I guess, the greatness of Malik Monk or the not so greatness of the rest of the bench. Malik Monk, as far as the assists coming off the bench, assists from the Kings bench, Malik Monk has 253 assists. Everyone else
ridiculous.
Has 227.
That's crazy. I mean, to me, yeah, that's more speaking of Malik and just how ridiculous of a playmaker he's been this year. But also, yeah. I mean, I guess to Will's point, there could be there's not really another guy. Actually, the craziest number on that list, I'm looking at that tweet now, too. Trey Lyles has only 11 assists behind Davion Mitchell. Right.
Even if Davion plus Keon got anywhere near Malik Monk, that would make more sense because they split time.
Yeah. But
they just haven't been able to get any production out of the backup point guard position. By the way, like we said, we've kind of been on Malik about those pocket passes and how they've been getting picked a lot. And he spoke the Pacers game, and he said, yeah, we kind of went back into the lab on that one, noticed that they had been getting picked off a lot, so had to switch it up. And you saw him drive more instead of giving it off. Essentially, it's like running the option instead of handing the ball off.
It's the exact same,
Or passing it off. He just got to the cup. And, you know, good on him for recognizing it. It lasted about five-ish games. And, you know, part of that was also he wasn't shooting the ball well, so maybe he felt a little bit constrained into what he'd be able to do. But, yeah, good on Malik for figuring that whole thing out. But, yeah, to answer 530's question, I think you can get better with Davion and a pick or something like that. I just don't know how much.
Yeah, no, that's the question. And in general, how much is any bench player going to affect your overall ceiling? Like, there's a reason why they're coming off the bench. It would be nice if you could bring in a Caruso or Royce O'Neal or those kind of guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's why it's so ridiculous Caruso's asking price. Like, there's a reason why you're going to get Royce O'Neal probably for a second-round pick. You're going to get Dorian and Finney-Smith for, you know, a pick in the 20s probably if it is going to be a first-round pick. It's because, you know, those guys they're good players, but at the end of the day, you shouldn't be breaking the bank to bring them in. So, you know, it'll be marginal, but I think in weird way, the marginal difference could go a decent way for the Kings. And I think we're not talking about this team. We're not trying to change this team with these moves from a first round exit to they better be in the conference title. We're just talking, you know, can you be, like we said earlier, a pretty much appearing as if you're trending towards a first round exit versus that's a second round team that things go their way. They get the right matchup. Who knows? Maybe they could end up in the conference title.
Yeah. And one way they're going to be able to do that to show people that they can do it is if you look at it, Chris, we can poke holes in the road trip all we want. Tonight is the night. Tonight is by far the best team that the Kings would have played on the road trip. Mm-hmm. Look here at the standings. You have the Cavs that are the 3 seed in the East.
They're the 3 seed at
this?
They're
31-16. They've won 13 of their last 14. Wow. They're 31-16, which would be good for...
They've kept pace with the Knicks, too. Are the Knicks are fourth then?
Or the Knicks are fourth. The Knicks have 18 losses. That's the Cavs have 16 losses. They're red hot. They'd be in the third or fourth seed if they were in the West, so it's not a matter of the West being better than the East. No, this is legit. They just got Garland back. He only played 23 minutes, maybe minutes restriction situation. I know it was a jaw. He always has something random going on.
Yeah, it was a busted jaw, I think.
Yeah. So he only had 4 points last game, but you got Evan Mobley, who he's been in and out. He had 28 points against the Spurs, 28-10. You had Jared Allen with 26-16, and Donovan Mitchell with 31, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Caris LeVert with 10. Okay, so these guys are
fill it up.
Very, very balanced in the way that they can score the basketball. This is going to be a great test for the Kings, because you're right. The Cavs are going to sit here and say, hey, we want to keep this thing rolling. And the Cavs are in the midst of listen to this. They're in the midst of a great opportunity for them to continue making headway. Got the Kings tonight. Then they go to the Wizards. They go to the Nets. And they go to the Raptors. They do have a back-to-back with the Wizards and the Nets. They go to the Raptors. They go to the 76ers come to town, and that's a 76er team without Joel Embiid.
Right.
Then after that, they get the Bulls. Then after that, they get the Magic. and then they go to Philly again, and then they have the Wizards again. Then they have the
Mavs. I
would
love to be in the East, man.
Then they have the Bulls, and then the Pistons. So the Cavs are thinking, we are it. We can keep this thing rolling. And looking at the, you know, the Sixers, whatever they're going to do, the Bucks actually have one more loss than the Cavs. The Cavs could get to the 2 seed if the Bucks don't figure it out. Easy.
Which they probably won't figure out at this
rate. It does not seem like it. So the Cavs are,
dang,
you know,
we were that close to J.B. Bickerstaff being the Eastern Conference coach.
So maybe, just maybe, the Cavs could say, all right, well, the Kings are in town. Right. We're in the midst of being hot. We have some softer games coming. But I think the Cavs are just in the middle of, hey, this is the last game on their road trip.
Right.
Let's send them back home packing. And the Cavs can really do
stretch.
Yeah, the Cavs can really do some damage here. So they will be very focused to take down the Kings before the Kings head back to Sacramento.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, I laid it out earlier, but the Kings can really approach this in two ways, and it feels obvious, but it's either you approach it as this is the last game of the trip, let's make sure to end it with an exclamation point, or you can say it's the last game of the road trip. Boy, I can't wait to get home. Boy, this road trip has felt like forever. Something tells me just with their success so far, being 5-1 on the trip, I have a hard time seeing them overlook this. I think that they, just like you acknowledge there, this is the best, maybe even the toughest test that they're going to face. And, you know, in a weird way, you could, I mean, I kind of laid it out earlier. You could argue, you know, it's great that you beat these teams, but how much of it really overall matters if you don't beat the team that is the real test
right
at the end of the day?
This has been the Kings' mantra this season.
Is this another test that we're seeing here? We've talked about midterms,
right? This is a nice test.
It's not a final
or anything like that. But this has been the Kings' mantra. When you really want them to take you over the top as far as the belief, they fall flat.
So we're not that guy, pal.
Every single time, not that guy. And the Bucks could have at least gotten one from those teams. Couldn't get that done. Sixers couldn't get that done. They didn't even have their guys playing, right? That whole stretch couldn't get it done. This is another situation. They'll have multiple with all these Nuggets games coming up. But, yeah, just looking here, Chris, they go back east, it looks like, at least one more time around my birthday, late March. They go to Toronto, Washington, Orlando. But, yeah, then after that, then they go to Knicks and the Celtics and Nets. There's always a Thunder game mixed in there, but that's essentially to end the season. So they have two more shorter trips back east after this. So this is the last long one. So hopefully they end it on a good note. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, we have audio about the issues with Grassgate. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.